Welcome to TY's 20, everyone. Your weekly 20-minute program covering all things sports, including lots of the coverage of the Cubs, Colts, Pacers, and Hoosiers right here on WordPress Radio. Welcome to the program. Well, with only one football game remaining this year, that means baseball is right around the corner. And on TY's 20, we're going to have extensive baseball analysis, predictions, and previews from every single division in baseball, featuring our Major League Baseball expert, Seth Lawrence. All that coverage is just weeks away from now, so baseball fans, you can look forward to that. But for this week's show, it's all about Indiana basketball. And I'll just start by saying, if you don't like Indiana basketball, first of all, I'm sorry, and it's probably your parents' fault for not bringing you up the right way. But we're going to talk a little Pacers and a little Hoosiers on today's show. We've got a couple guests coming in that are insiders for each of those teams. And before that happens, I just wanted to briefly make an opening statement about Indiana basketball as a whole. It's no secret, it's been some down times for both of these teams. It's a tough pill to swallow for the state of Indiana and its fans. But I do believe better days are coming very soon for both the Hoosiers and the Pacers. And we'll talk more about that in the program. But I could see both teams returning to respectability as early as next year. I think they're both a year away, but we'll see. In this first segment, we're talking about the Pacers, a team that has seen 12 fourth-quarter leads turn into losses this season. You know, I feel like this team just doesn't know how to win games. But for today's show, we're going to try to keep things positive. All right, we're going to start today's show by bringing in the secretary himself, also known around the Twitter universe as Pacers_Chance. A fellow Area 55 member and Pacers insider, Chris Goff. Chris, how's it going?
I'm doing great, Ty. How are you doing?
Doing great. Welcome to the broadcast. Before we talk about the Pacers, I wanted to briefly talk about Area 55. I've touched on it in the show before. Roy Hibbert put on a contest before the season to bring in 55 of the craziest Pacer fans to win season tickets. And we were two of the winners, and it's quite the experience, but Chris, tell the listening audience what Area 55 is all about. What's it like? How's the experience? What are the good things about it?
Sure. If you haven't seen Area 55 on television or in person this season, it is that rarest of experiences at a professional sporting event. From the time you find your seat before the tip-off to the last horn sounding, everyone in the section is standing, everyone's wearing Pacers gear, and everyone cares deeply about the outcome of the game. The people in the section are very dedicated, and that's not the case in all corners of Conseco Fieldhouse or in all corners of any professional sporting event. Everyone is very vocal for 48 minutes. It's a very participatory sports experience, and when things are going right, as you know, Tyler, you may recall in November the Denver game, which the Pacers won by 31 points. We hit our first 20 shots in the third quarter. And, you know, everything's going right, and the more things go right for the Pacers, it just ups the ante. You get more and more happy. Some people would get delirious, jumping around in circles, high-fiving. It's a shared experience, and it's a great place to watch a Pacers game.
Absolutely. I've kind of told people it's kind of like a high school pep block, only at an NBA professional game. We've actually got some publicity in ESPN Magazine and all that, so it's been a great experience. Chris is known as the Secretary of Chance. Every game brings a sheet of paper filled with chants to the section, and typically the entire section screams out those chants at opposing players. Some of them are funny, some are serious. Chris, why don't you give us a few of your favorites so far this season that you've used?
Well, undoubtedly the best moment. You know what, Tyler, I write these chants. You know, you do the research, but you're never sure if you're going to affect a professional athlete. You're never sure if you're going to get in people's heads, you know, like Roy Hibbert has, you know, told me is the goal. We wrote a chant for Nate Robinson, who is like 5'6", 5'7", point guard for the Boston Celtics, very small. Smurf, Smurf, Smurf. And we chanted that one night. He went to the free throw line. And he knocked down the first free throw, and after he did that, he pointed up to us in Area 55 directly as if to say, you know, bring it on. I'm going to knock these down because I'm mad. And he called us out, and he missed the second free throw, and that was a great moment. You know, probably my other second favorite chant would be can't shoot free throws for Dwight Howard. We did that in the preseason, and I think everybody in the arena was shocked. what was going on at a pro ball game, and Dwight missed like 8 free throws that night. So those are probably the 2 most effective that we've used this year. Some of them are funny. Some of them are really aimed at deficiencies in the player's game or in his behavior. So it's been a great thing, and I think we've really had much more of an effect than I ever thought we would.
Definitely. I'd personally like the wash your hair to Scola from the Rockets, but keep the chants coming for sure. We got to get the rest of Canseco to join us. All right, now let's talk specifically about the Pacers. This year they started out very nicely with a 9-7 record and a lot of excitement. They even won 4 early road games, but since then, all kinds of similarities the past couple years. Looks like the Pacers could be on another collision course with a losing record, possibly missing the playoffs, and yet still not getting a high draft pick. What's going on with this team? I'll ask you the famous question, are they who we thought they were?
Well, if I'm to be taken as an example, I thought we could win about 40 games as a best-case scenario if we had help. And what's frightening is we've actually had that help. Collison's missed a couple of games. Hibbert missed a game the other day with an illness. Granger missed a game in Chicago with a sprained ankle. But otherwise, we've been very, very fortunate as far as players staying on the basketball court. And we're not on pace to win 40 games. We're on pace to win 32 or 33 games. And that, to me, is a disappointment. The main reason for that, I believe, is Darren Collison. He hasn't been the difference maker that many of us expected. As a starter in New Orleans, 19 points, 9 assists. In Indiana, 14 points and 5 assists. He has not created a lot of easy baskets for his teammates. On some nights, it practically takes an act of Congress to get him to look for his own shot. And so the strange thing about this team compared to other teams that the Pacers have had is we're pretty good on defense, but we've been one of the worst offenses in the NBA, which is a surprise to people who have followed the team under Jim O'Brien. One pleasant surprise this year has been at how well the team has rebounded the basketball. I think Dunleavy is good from the guard position. Hibbert has improved, and the power forward spot has held up fairly well given the loss of Torrey Murphy. So we haven't gotten crushed on the boards, but I still think we should have a better record than we do.
Yeah, I think part of the problem with Collison, and you know, as I've been complaining about Jim O'Brien ever since I started this podcast, I think the system is difficult for point guards, especially guys that have not been in the system for a long time, but you never know, maybe with a new face, maybe that'll change. But my next question for you is, what do you think needs to happen for this team by opening night next year to be contenders? Because if you ask me, this team has a product to make a huge jump next season. They've got good young core players, I think, with Granger, Collison, Hibbert, Rush, George, and Hansbrough. They've got some expiring contracts they can trade, and they'll have about $30 million to spend the offseason. But what needs to happen for them to make the jump?
Well, the ultimate goal in the NBA, obviously, is to win a title. And to win a championship, you have to go at least 8 deep. So if we look at this roster tie, we have to ask ourselves, who do we trust if we were building a championship team tomorrow? I trust Danny Granger as the second-best player, but I think we need someone better than Danny Granger to win a ring. I don't trust Dunleavy. I don't trust Collison and Hibbert yet, but I think they can be championship-level players. And I only trust Tyler Hansbrough and Brandon Rush as reserves. So I think we're certainly a player or two away, and that's one or two really good players, not one or two supporting cast guys. I also think this team could truly benefit from some new blood in the front office. Chris Broussard, a basketball reporter for ESPN, actually said the other day that the Pacers general manager, David Morlay, could be in trouble. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think Larry Bird has been palling around with Kevin Pritchard on this road trip. Kevin Pritchard, the former general manager of the Trailblazers. And in Portland, Pritchard was amazing. He was innovative. He was creative. He acquired assets. Used his cap space, and he built Portland into a contender almost from scratch. I say go get him. I say go get Pritchard. I think Morlay, he's supposedly this young, bright, up-and-coming general manager prospect. I think David Morlay would probably like to be the man somewhere else, would probably like to escape Larry Bird's shadow and be the sole decision-maker for a basketball team. And the third aspect, as far as becoming a contender again, I really feel that this team needs a scorer and a veteran player with at least 7 or 8 years in the league who can raise the competitive nature of everyone else around him, somebody who's been on 50-win teams, someone who can teach the proper body language and really build up the confidence of this team. Because the Pacers have young players who've won in college, but winning in the NBA is a whole different thing. And I think the Pacers could really use a player to set an example. Chauncey Billups would be an ideal guy, but we have Collison at point guard. There's someone out there, though, who can help this team from a veteran leadership standpoint.
This team can definitely get back to where it belongs if the right moves are made. That's a big if, but we'll see what happens. Last thing, Chris, you got 30 seconds. If you got anything you want to say to Pacer Nation, now's your time.
Well, I would say this. If you're a Pacer fan and you're out there, this team is losing, we think, tens of millions of dollars every year. In the 1990s, Reggie Miller almost saved professional basketball a first time in this city. In the 21st century, it's up to us. It's up to you. It's up to people who care about this team. Don't live with regrets if the Indiana Pacers, God forbid, ever became the Seattle Pacers or the New Orleans Pacers. Don't live with regrets. Part of being a sports fan is living through the downtimes. Support this team. Buy tickets if you can. Wear the T-shirts. Wear the gear. Talk to your friends and stand with this team. They're good guys. Darren Collison, Danny Granger, Roy Hibbert, they're all a little bit goofy, but they couldn't be better people, and they couldn't care more about their craft. I would ask for that same dedication from Indiana as far as Pacers fans. This is a basketball state. Support the team, please.
Words of wisdom, Chris. Thanks so much for joining us. Go Pacers, and we'll talk later in the season.
Go Pacers. Thanks for having me, Ty.
All right, we're going to take a Chris Webber-like timeout. Back with more TY's 20 right after this. All right, folks, time now to talk about the Hoosiers. And we've got Hoosiers insider Nathan Hazel on the line. Hazel, what's up? Good to have you on the show.
What's up, T.Y.? I've been waiting for a couple weeks to be on here.
Yeah. Let's talk about this year's team first. They got off to a great start in the weaker non-conference schedule, but they've really struggled lately to close out games. The good news is they're still competing pretty well against the Kentuckys and Wisconsins of the world. Had a big 19-point victory over Michigan, a team that shows they can play with anybody in the country. But the big injury to Maurice Creek, and I just wanted to ask you, how would you assess this year's team so far?
Honestly, in my opinion, I think Indiana basketball is exactly where I would have predicted it to be, knowing that we were not going to get Guy Michel into our roster. You know, the big guy who is not going to be eligible due to some overseas ball, which is really ludicrous in my opinion. I think the NCAA is really setting a double standard just going into his situation. But with him, to take his situation, you take the situation of Maurice Creek, a guy who was one of the leading scorers in the country just a year ago, and you add another injury onto him. And honestly, the whole season you could tell he was playing with a disability. He wasn't right from the beginning. For whatever reason, the Hoosiers were able to make that last and to work with that for the first 10 or 11 games with the schedule they had. But going into the Big Ten tournament, or the Big Ten play, it was clear that he wasn't who he was. And so if you take Creek's injury and the absence of Guy Michel, they're actually right where I would have predicted them to be. Now, if you put those two guys on the roster, they're in the middle of the Big Ten right now making some noise. And arguably a bubble team going into next year.
I agree. That's pretty big to take 40% of your starting rotation out and expect big things. Quick question for you. Do you think Maurice Creek should have been redshirted this year? Because I personally, you know, I don't know as much as the Crean and the coaching staff know, but to me, watching him hobble around out there, he didn't seem healthy, as you said, and that would be real nice to have that extra year of eligibility for him.
Yeah, I mean, we're on TY20, and hindsight's always 20/20. But you know, it's awful strange to see a guy who we saw last year be as explosive as he was, and make him contribute such a large capacity, and then come out and see him this year. It was clear, just to the average fan, that something wasn't right. Our hopes were obviously that let's get him back by Big Ten play, and obviously that actually turned out for the worst. But I don't know if I put all the blame on Crean. Creek himself told people and told the blogs that he actually felt he was about 98%, which is pretty dang close to 100. You cannot bench or redshirt Maurice Creek at 98%. But if anything, I think if anybody gets the blame, it's got to be the team doctors for not noticing or rehabilitating him after seeing him play just a few games. They honestly thought it was all mental with Creek and not physical. So there you have it.
Yeah, well, we wish Mo Creek all the best to speedy recovery. He's definitely a true Hoosier. One thing I also wanted to touch on, there's a lot of scrutiny about this team, and to me it's kind of unwarranted. I mean, this is only year three of a rebuilding process. I would never take a shot at Illinois. Just kidding, I definitely would. You take a team like Illinois or 99% of the other schools in the country, you know, if they had the same situation that IU had to deal with, I think it would take them 7 to 10 years, and I'm not even kidding about this, 7 to 10 years to rebuild of what I think Crean will do in 3 or 4 years. What do you think?
That's exactly right. And 3 to 4 years is only because of some very unfortunate situations after his arrival in Bloomington. We already talked about a couple of those, but there are more that go into that. You know, you're exactly right on the Illinois and even the teams like Purdue and the Minnesotas and of the Big Ten. You know, that I have never remembered a 3 or 4 year stretch that Indiana basketball has gone through like this. But if you remember just a couple years back, teams like Purdue were going through it, and they weren't under these sanctions, and they weren't under this situation. And Illinois, for Pete's sake, they were never. I remember growing up watching Illinois play, and they had some great seasons to be proud of. But I remember it wasn't all that, unnormal, I guess, in a sense, for them to have, a 2 or 3 year stretch like this. And we're having it because of these situations, and yet we're getting all the, people hating on our team just because of a situation that's very unfortunate, one that the university is not proud of, but certainly one that this university is going to get over with very, very soon. And that's where you're wanting to go.
True dat. Tyler Smith, Nathan Hazel talking to you live on TY's 20. Nathan, I mentioned on Twitter that IU bashers need to get their licks in now, because the cavalry is a-coming, as they say. Extremely good recruits coming the next 4 years for Indiana. Everybody knows about Cody Zeller next year. The 2012 class might be the best class to ever come to Indiana, especially if they land Gary Harris. 2013, we've already got two studs coming. In 2014, we already have the top player in the country committed. So tell us about some of these guys, what IU fans can expect, and who are you most excited about?
Yeah, there's nothing more that needs to be said in terms of recruiting. Look at what Tom Crean's doing under this situation. He left a Marquette team that was arguably a Final Four contender the year he left to come to Bloomington because he knew there was something special within this state, and he was exactly right, because you could see from the very beginning the guy was a beast when it came to recruiting, and it's holding true, not just in 2012, which is going to be his big one, but the very first year he was there, he landed a top 15 class, and now in 2012 we got all these guys coming, and the thing that excites me the most is the fact that these guys are going to come in arguably the top recruiting class in the nation if we get Gary Harris. If not, it's still going to be a top 6, 7, or 8 recruiting class, but if we land Gary Harris, you're going to remember all these guys are going to be playing with the top class he brought in just a few short years ago, and they're going to be upperclassmen, which only means it's going to get even better, and then our bench is going to get deeper. And whenever it comes into, can I pick a recruit, can I pick one to talk about, man, there is going to be nothing better than to watch this Hannah Pierre kid just run up and down the floor. He's a Michigan State type player. He's that kind of athlete. He's one that will lead his team, and I cannot wait until he walks into the State Assembly Hall next year in 2012.
Yeah, and I think you and I had talked about the fact that these guys are from Indiana. How about that?
Yeah, every single one of them have Indiana ties. All the two were born and raised in Indiana. Most of them play on the same AAU team, which, by the way, are very, very successful AAU teams. We got several guys competing right now against each other for state titles in the state. Both of the guys you mentioned for 2014 are putting up some incredible numbers as freshmen. And on top of the ones that were very, very high up on the list, in fact, one of them, Jaquan Lyles from Evansville and Ernie Duncan from Evansville, and I've had the opportunity to talk to both of them and to watch both of them. And I tell you what, IU fans have a lot to look forward to.
I cannot wait myself, my friend. I got 30 seconds left for you, Hazel. I want you to, basically the floor is yours here. You can either speak to Hoosier fans or Hoosier haters, whatever you'd like to say, go for it.
Yeah, I would love to take the opportunity to talk to haters, but quite frankly, there's only about one or two more years where they're going to have any type of chance of hanging with us on the court. And that's my complete honest opinion, but I'll tell you what, Hoosier fans, we have a lot to look forward to. This guy named Tom Crean is no joke. He is all over the place, not only just during the games, walking up and down that court, coaching our guys, but he is all over the state and all over the country recruiting. And I think he said it best, is we're not going to take a backseat to anybody. And that's what I can be sure about. That's what Hoosier fans can be sure about, is we're not going to take a backseat to anyone else. I look for us to be able to be in that top 10 recruiting class nearly every year from here on out.
Hazel, it's always great to talk with you, and we'll talk again as March Madness approaches.
All right, man, we'll see you later.
That's going to do it for this week's program. Stay tuned next week. We're going to have a Super Bowl preview, and we're also going to count down the 5 greatest sports movies of all time. And don't forget, to 49 other states, it's just basketball, but this is Indiana, baby. And as Harry Carey would say, only the shadow knows. Peace.